In a preaching class in Chicago, when Sue was working on her DMin, one of her African-American colleagues preached from this particular passage of Scripture and asked them in the room what type of soil they thought they were. It didn't sound like a rhetorical question to her, because then he paused and continued and said, "Are you the path? Or are you the rocky? Or maybe you have a few thorns?" And just as Sue says, just as they were considering whether to tell the truth about themselves, because we all want to give the right answer, especially when we're in church, he took a turn that she didn't expect. He said in his South Side Chicago neighborhood, there weren't a lot of kids with advantages. Most of them were poor, but those who weren't so poor still had subpar schools to attend. And for those who made it through to graduation, they had few job prospects. He went on, "There are thorns and rocks all around us. We have to get our hands in the soil. We have to dig in the dirt. We have to pull up those rocks. We have to root out those thorns and keep amending the dirt until it becomes like rich compost. Loose soil that will receive whatever is planted. It'll hurt," he promised. "But if we do, we can turn bad soil into good, and that will bear a crop for Jesus." As Sue and I worked in our yard this spring, we gained a new understanding of this. We put a small pond and waterfall in our backyard this year. And that would be the royal we, because I suppose, looking back, I did most of the hard work of digging and putting in the all of the stuff. And more than once, I remember remarking to her that there really wasn't a lot of soil in our soil. There are sure a lot of rocks. We dug them up, installed the pond liner, added compost to the area around the pond. We got the soil ready before we even thought about the seeds. I want to ask you to do something this morning. I want to ask you to close your eyes and in your mind's eye, imagine that you're looking at Jesus sowing seeds. Just Jesus. Just get a picture of Jesus, and you're watching him sow those seeds. When you get that in your mind, I want you to make it just a little bigger. Make that picture a little bigger, and then try to see the other people who are out there preparing the soil. When we look at it this way, when there are other people around us working, the soil changes. So that it isn't so much about whether the soil is good or bad, but or whether we are good or bad, or rocky or thorny soil. The question becomes, who around us has obstacles in their way? Is there someone pounding a hardened, well-worn path where there is little to no room for hope of it ever softening? Is someone dealing with the jagged rocks and sharp thorns of shame or guilt or denial or regret, choking out any new idea of hope for a new beginning? When we widen our scope of the scene, we let go of focusing only on ourselves and notice that we are not alone. This is where we get to connect with others, where we can dig deeper and form relationships, even if it means our hands will get dirty or cut and knit from pulling up roots and rocks and thorns, all so that Jesus' seed can take root and a harvest could follow for everyone. When we look at the soil around us differently, when we ask different questions, opportunities follow. But we have to be willing to get our hands a little dirty, maybe a little banged up, maybe cut up just a little. Are we willing to do that for Jesus? If your hands hurt from the thorns where you're digging, look over at the one gardening with you and notice that his hands have holes in them. Friends, there's a lot of bad soil out there, so to follow in Jesus' footsteps, we need to dig in regardless of what effect it may have on us. The parable says some seed fell on the path. And Jesus said, the path is sun-baked. It has no moisture, so it doesn't open up for the words, and the birds come and eat the seed. And well, that's when we fail to listen with our ears and try to understand in our hearts. What about the rocky soil? Jesus says that's a person who receives the word of the kingdom with joy, but endures only for a little while and then falls away with any trouble or persecution. Thorny soil, Jesus says, that thorns are in the soil, are the cares of the word and the lure of wealth. They choke the word so it yields nothing fruitful, rather anxiety and fear, and you can fill in your own blanks. When we were in seminary, we often worried about where the next check was coming from to pay the bills, often to the point where we felt all those things and lost sight of the fact that God had always provided for us. There's something else in this story that still confuses me. As I told you before, we like to get out in the garden and work, and you all know that we love to garden. So every time I read this parable, I think, what kind of farmer is this? Because we don't farm the way that Jesus describes. Jesus describes a sower who takes precious seeds and casts them everywhere. On the sidewalk, over in the thorn bushes, in the rocky hillside. This sowing isn't with the precision of one who wants every seed to succeed. I carefully measure the distance between every seed and plant so that everything can grow healthy. I certainly don't toss seeds on the sidewalk or in amongst the brambles or thorns that I see. And the farmer in this parable doesn't dig around in the soil, doesn't amend it with fertilizer or sand or grit or check the pH balance. This farmer doesn't even carefully cover the seed. He just flings seeds everywhere, indiscriminately, on the highway, into the bushes, on land that's his and land that's not. Who knows where it will land? There's a story about a young pastor who was called to a rural church who decided he would grow some summer squash in a garden to enter in the county fair and hopefully wow the people of his congregation with his gardening abilities. So he carried a handful of seed out of the manse, prepared some rows out back, planted, watered, tended, and waited. But nothing at all happened in the field. Oh, a weed here and there and a plant, but no squash. However, something did happen along the walkway. Apparently, the young pastor dropped one or more seeds while he was walking out to the back, because weeks later, along the path where he had walked, sprang up the most beautiful-looking squash plant he'd ever seen. And on it was a huge squash. My mom called those volunteer plants. I think a lot of people do. They're the ones that come up that you didn't plant. They're sort of a happy accident. And lo and behold, this volunteer plant was better than any he planted in his garden. So what about around here? I wonder what ministries we have that started out as a wild seed of an idea that grew, sort of like a volunteer squash that came up. Something somebody thought of that sounded crazy at first, but then a little less crazy until it turned into something amazing, and then it worked. Well, that is exactly how God works, my friends. You know, all cherished traditions were originally crazy ideas no one had ever thought about. We have Martin Luther and the Reformation to thank for the congregational singing that we're so thrilled is back in our churches. In 1522, Luther began developing a mass in the vernacular, which became the primary vehicle for congregational singing. In other words, it was written in their own language. People singing in church. Who'd have thought of such a thing? It was a wild idea once. A seed cast on rocks or roots or thorns. Did you know that the church invented the hospital? What a ridiculous idea. Let's build a place and we'll send sick people there. There was no such thing as a hospital until the church came along. In 1198, Pope Innocent III urged Christians to build hospitals in every town. Church also invented the university, a place to learn not only all the knowledge there is, but how it all fits together. What a dangerous notion that is, let people gain knowledge. The American Sunday School system was first begun by Samuel Slater in his textile mills in Pawtucket, Rhode Island in the 1790s. Jesus Christ started the first church. What a crazy idea that was. He called 12 disciples and was soon teaching crowds about God's love and desire for a relationship with us. And since then, the Holy Spirit at work through the church has continued to reinvent and reimagine herself. Presbyterians describe this as the church reformed and always reforming. The PCUSA developed a program called 1001 New Worshiping Communities, a movement that has helped our denomination make the shift from an inward-focused membership maintenance model of church to a more outward, creative, and disciple-making model of church. I believe the question has to change from how do we do church better to how do we do church in a new way. Now there are new worshiping communities that meet in coffee shops and bicycle shops, in CrossFit centers, even in a once abandoned building street youth used for skateboarding and hanging out. Check it out, it's amazing. It is called Serious Juju. It's in Kalispell, Montana. The church reinventing the church. There are community garden worshiping communities, walking and hiking worshiping communities. We have two new worshiping communities right here within this presbytery. One in Old Forge called Weaving Home, and the other in Cooperstown, which is based around a rap musician who felt a call from God. Never before in history has there been a transnational body of people where race and gender and tribe didn't matter. The only thing that matters, the only determining truth, is faith in Jesus Christ. There was a time when no one had thought of any of these things, any of these institutions, and now, friends, we can't imagine the world without a university, a hospital, a church, and for some people, Serious Juju. So many wild seeds. So what wild, unexpected seeds might we be holding in our hands, friends? Interesting things happen in the Bible when God starts farming. God creates Adam and Eve and puts them where? In a garden. When Jesus is raised from the dead, Mary sees him, doesn't recognize him, and mistakes him for a gardener. Who knows? Maybe the risen Christ was tending to the garden. Maybe he had dirt under his fingernails. And here is Jesus again telling us about this strange sort of gardener flinging seeds willy-nilly. The church is to be a community of Jesus followers out among the rocks and thorns, growing together into people who are learning to love and forgive in the same way that Jesus does. The church is to be a worshiping community together where Jesus followers listen to the stories of others and acknowledge and repent of our own rough edges and thorny sides. The church is to be a community, helping each other work through all life throws at us until we are like fine, compost-rich soil, so that no matter where the farmer casts the seeds, something beautiful will grow. It's a radical notion. It's the notion of a renegade. Jesus takes our hands and he opens it up, and as he does so, we notice that his hands are not only rough and calloused and bruised by the hard work of love, but they're also pierced. Perhaps there are a few seeds even caught in the holes left by the nails. And then he calls us and he pours some of that precious seed from his pierced palms into ours. and he sends us out to cast seeds everywhere. These seeds that cost God everything. So, my dear friends, where will we throw God's seeds next? Amen.